From our Imams, the ninth Imam is the first, whose Imamat began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali al-Barra.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Ja'far, Muhammad the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the ninth divinely appointed Imam among the household of the Holy Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. He was also the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, with his talents, his genius, and his great endless scientific ability, has proven the luminous reality adopted by the Shia that an Imam must be the most aware and virtuous one of the people of his time. And it has also proven that the one who has more knowledge than anyone else must be the Imam, regardless of whether he is young or old. Allah the Almighty has provided the infallible Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, peace and blessings upon them all, with knowledge, wisdom, and sound judgment, similar to how Allah provided the prophets of the past with these same concepts and qualities. Truly, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam has shown this reality to all of the world. These are his dialogues.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are at your humble service talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, the ninth divinely appointed Imam from the household of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, dear friends, of course, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam has spoken about a great many things. Of course, all of the Imams have talked about a great many things. But we find, interestingly, that all of the Imams have a tendency to focus quite a bit on moral and ethical matters, which in Arabic we call akhlaq. Now, this akhlaq, which is normally translated as morals and ethics, the kind of proper and virtuous behaviors that a person should have, in reality, it is this akhlaq and these virtues that one should have that really perfect a human being. Of course, along with other matters of knowledge and wisdom, whether it is the religious laws, which also are very important for every single one of us to know, especially those daily ahkam and those daily rules and regulations that every single one of us should know in order to be able to answer our questions and our doubts, and to be able to correctly follow the religion of Islam. Of course, another one is this aqa'id, or the theology or the belief systems that are in Islam. Normally, we have a tendency to talk about the usuluddin and the furu'uddin, the usul or the main principles of the religion, you know, tawheed, adalat, nabuwat, imamat, qiyamat, these kind of things. Of course, we should believe in them. So these are the two things. And the third one is this akhlaqi and these virtues and how to be, you know, a complete human being. It's really kind of a practical aspect of these things, of this spiritual wayfaring, on the path of Allah. And so here, when it comes to akhlaq, we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam has a conversation with his companions, and one of his companions asks him about good morals, and specifically asks him about sincerity, ikhlas. Now, what's interesting is that ikhlas itself is, as we said, commonly defined as sincerity, but of course it has a much more profound meaning, and you would need a much longer episode in order to speak about the various aspects of ikhlas and of sincerity. But here I want to bring in this this part of the conversation that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam had, where he says that sincerity is one's forbidding others from that which one does not like. Now, of course, a lot of times, you know, the statements of the imams, of course, because they are in Arabic, there is a much more profound meaning in the original Arabic. When it's translated, it has a very almost stationary and a very rigid explanation, when in reality there's much more flexibility, much more depth, much more wisdom in these statements of the divinely appointed imams. So now here you might think that, okay, so sincerity, ikhlas, is to forbid another person from that which I don't like. Now here, this I don't like is something that I would like to focus on. So for example, on one hand, we could say, I don't personally like the color red. Or I don't personally like bananas. Or I don't personally like the cultural clothing, for example, of, I don't know, Iranians, for example. Now, if you had noticed, every single place I said that I personally do not like. Now here the divinely appointed imam, who is talking about good morals and good ethics, and who is talking about ikhlas and sincerity, and when you put all the other traditions along with this tradition, you realize that that which I do not like is that which I do not like, which is within the framework and within the, within the framework of the religion of Islam. So, for example, I do not like lying because Islam does not like lying. I do not like, shamefulness and immodesty because Islam does not like shamefulness and immodesty. Or, for example, I do not like cheating and lying and wearing inappropriate clothes because Islam does not like cheating and does not like lying and does not like immodest clothing. Now here we have defined that which I do not like. Now that which I do not like, which is in correspondence with what Islam teaches, is what I should be forbidding others from if I am sincere. Make sense? And put it the other way around. So I'm a sincere person, that means I'm honest in what I'm trying to do, I'm honest with the other person, I am sincere with the other person, I don't have any ulterior motives with the other person, I really do care about the other person. Now, when you really do care about another person, of course, you will encourage them to do good, to do things that please you within the framework of the religion. And on the other hand, you will forbid others from those things which displease you, of course, within the framework of the religion. Otherwise, this conversation would not make sense, as I had previously spoken about the example, if we took this as being a personal dislike. It is not a personal dislike, it is a religious dislike. And of course, if we were to do this to help one another in our society, in our homes, in our communities, you know, in our neighborhoods, to forbid them from doing those things which are displeasing to Almighty Allah and are specifically portrayed and announced in the religion, then of course we would live in a much safer, a much more beautiful, a much more pious environment that would be of benefit to every single one of us. This is Dialogue, Imam Al-Jawad, alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.